Well, good morning, Potters. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office. And we are currently, just to update you on church activities, we are currently having service in the parking lot both Wednesdays and Sunday mornings. Wednesdays at 6:30, where we will be studying the book of Ephesians. And then Sunday mornings, we continue in our study of Matthew, where we are this morning. So today was our first day at the church in the parking lot, and it didn't go as bad as I thought it was going to go. It was actually pretty nice. So hopefully you'll make it out for that. We have this coming Wednesday, we're having tamales at the church and Bible study and sort of our Christmas celebration out in the parking lot. And then we'll be there next Sunday as well. So this morning I want to talk to you about this idea of the church family that Matthew brings up, and it comes from a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples and with people that were trying to pull him in a couple of directions. But, you know, people ask, what's the value of having a church family? And there is an extreme reason, right, for having a church family, for believers to belong to, right? In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, there's a basic statement. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And the Bible places an extreme importance on the family unit in many ways, but not just the family unit that we see, you know, with mom and dad and children, but we see with mom and dad and children in the church family, being a part of the church family. And so, although this particular text is not specifically talking about the church family, it alludes to Jesus's greater sort of picture that there was going to be a family that was even superior to the blood family that we had on earth, right? So our text is Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. It says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mothers and his brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And pointing to the disciples, he said, here are my brothers and here is my mother. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother. So, Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you add to us insight and wisdom into this text, that we may be able to apply it to our soul. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are here this morning, that Bible that you have in your lap right now. You are here to study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you, that is me, and let's get started. So a couple of observations. In this story, Matthew points out that Jesus' family had expectations for their access to him or of him. And the disciples, you know, they had their own expectations as well. And some by, you know, pressuring Jesus to speak with them, Jesus uses this, you know, interaction for a spiritual lesson. And so they're, you know, pressuring him. Hey, man, your family's outside. They want to talk to you. They, you know, they're sort of waiting, which is, you know, an expectation that they would have access. So Jesus responds, well, with a question, who's my mother and who are my brothers? And the easier answer that the disciples would give, probably, you know, common sense me, would say, hey, those are the people knocking at the door out there. Obviously, your family's here. But Jesus says, my family consists of the people that I surround myself with, and they're my disciples. My family is anyone who thinks like me and sees the world like me, those who follow the will of my Father. So imagine for a moment the response from the crowd of the Hebrews, right? Because how important was blood relations to them? You know, the Bible says, and so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. And, you know, family genealogies are extremely important. The dynamic was flipped upside down when Jesus said this. The people listening and the disciples would later form the church family that was instituted by Jesus himself. Remember what he said. He said back in Matthew, he said, brother will betray brother even unto death, and father and child, children rebel against their parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. The church family has many purposes, and I just want to state a few this morning. But Jesus, when he quoted that text about the difficulties that family would have, he was right. He was right. So we study God's word together. That's the main focus. That's the thing that we do, is that we pay close attention to God's word and the study of it. The church family provides, you know, a consistent Bible teaching. That is the job of the pastors and the lay people to continue with Bible studies. That's why through this pandemic, it's been very difficult. People have had to listen online. People have had to, some people don't listen online and just aren't going to church at all. And it's very difficult for you to be a part of a family if you're not part of the feeding that takes place, which is the word of God and consuming that. So this comes through, you know, the small group Bible studies that we have, regular Bible studies, the teaching from the pastor, the Sunday school lessons, and so on and so on. And the church family is called to grow spiritually together. You know, we need to be spurring one another on. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the second thing is we honor God together through worship. And there is a unifying factor when believers come together and they worship God. And it's through music and sometimes even preaching and serving that we do that. Psalm 34, verse 3 says that it's this call to corporate worship. It says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And the third thing is we find accountability. We find accountability. The church provides a practical place, a practical framework, for lack of a better word, for accountability. What do I mean by that? Well, you guys know, in our church, you're encouraged regularly to confess your sin. You're encouraged regularly to take responsibility for the stupid things you and I do, right? And once a relationship has grown and friendships form, there's someone to encourage you and to rebuke you when necessary and to rejoice with you. You don't do these things alone, right? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens his friend's countenance. Accountability is crucial, and it's extremely important in the battle to overcome sin. And the church family is a great place where we find someone to pray with, someone to talk to, somebody to confide in. There are people right now that are in our church that are hanging on by a thread, right? Because of sin in their life, because of decisions that they've made, and they need somebody to be accountable to. They need somebody to, when they want to go sin, they can call and say, I want to sin. I need your help. I need your prayer. So the fourth thing is we find support in a trial. When it comes to, you know, trials, they're going to happen, and a support system is critical. And when in need, you want brothers and sisters in Christ to uphold you in prayer and assist you with things like meals and cleaning and childcare. My grandson was just born, and I'm sure the church, you know, steps up and people bring gifts and people bring food and people, you know, Tam and I had the girls and, you know, we're watching them while they're in the hospital. Everybody pitches in because you have a church family. And don't get me wrong, it's great because, yes, this is my blood relative, but my daughter Lindsay lives in Colorado, and when her and her husband and daughter Mia go through things, their church family is there for them. Galatians 6:2 says, encourage us. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So that was the fourth one. We find support in trials. The fifth one is we gain opportunities for service. So we not only receive support from the church, but we give it as well. And your calling in the church is to contribute, not just to receive. You're there to give and not just take. When people are close in fellowship with other believers, we know that they need the support and prayer of people, and that's why the church serves together, right? Everybody has a function in the body. We can, you know, step in and help in practical ways. Ephesians 6:7 says, serve one another wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. And number six is we make disciples. And there comes a time when we need to learn to feed and not just to be fed. And we can evangelize, teach, encourage, and disciple our church family. And, you know, it's part of the Great Commission. All authority was given to me, Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this morning in applying this, you know, I realize that there are many different applications that we could pull out of this.
But one of the beautiful things that we have, and one of the things I think that Jesus was talking to, is he was saying, yes, my mother and my brothers are important to me, but just as important as my mother and brothers are my spiritual family. And if you think about, for those 3 years of Jesus's life, he was probably closer to the disciples than he was his own family. And you say, well, Greg, that's not a good thing. And I say, well, yeah, it is. Because if you look at it one day, we're all going to be family in heaven. And this is just a dry run. This is just a practice run, so to speak. So an application, wouldn't you desire to be in a family that was like-minded? You think about the families that we're in right now. Some families can't even break bread together without arguing over politics and Black Lives Matter and the election and Republican and Democrat and the environment and all these different things, right? Masks and no masks, and it just goes on forever. But we have a like-minded family. Even though we may not agree on masks, even though we may not agree on the president, we know that the thing that brings us together, makes us like-minded, is the Lord. In an age when culture is increasingly secular, it's beneficial to know and to have a family that is like-minded and that we all believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Wouldn't you like to be in a like-minded family? Number two, an experienced family. Wouldn't you want to be part of an experienced family? You know, I think of these young families. I think of my daughter and my son-in-law bringing home their son today. They have a 4-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter. And now they're bringing home a newborn. And this is all, even though they've been doing this for 4 years, this is a lot, right? And they don't have a lot of experience in their little family. They will. But this is all new. But they have people around them that have been there and done that. They have people in the church that say to them and encourage them in their faith journey and in their family journey. And we have people that respond to our questions about spiritual issues. When you have an experienced family, there are people in church that are like fathers to me, and women that are like mothers to me, and men that are brothers and women that are sisters. And I have little brothers and little sisters and little grandchildren as well. And all these people are part of my family. They're part of who we are. They make up who I am as a pastor. I would not be the same if I pastored a church of 1,000 people. I would be a completely different man than I am today with the flock that I have that is around me. And number three, wouldn't you want to be in a loving family, to be a support in times of hardship, to provide opportunity to serve and disciple others? It's an amazing thing. Hebrews says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You guys, we're desperate. We're so desperate. We met in a parking lot and we set up a little tent and we set up a little sound system, and we're so desperate on Wednesday. We're going to eat tamales together, and it's probably not going to be too warm, and it's going to be not as nice as having in a building. But you know what? It's not about a building. When the people together decide to fellowship, that is the building. That is the family of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. You are his family if you do the will of his Father. Man, if it were that easy, right? Think about that statement. And lastly, in applying this morning, I want you to consider that. You belong to this family if you do the will of my Father. Let's turn that around. You don't belong to this family if you don't do the will of my Father. It just sends a chill down my spine. Yes, I know that I'm saved. I still can't believe that God would save me. You may be considering that today. You may be sitting there wondering how you can be saved. You may be sitting there wondering how you could be part of a family. The Bible says you need to ask. You need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he gave his life for you, a ransom for you. And when you accept him, you will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You will be given the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you will be radically saved. And if you made that your prayer today, find the number on the website that you're on right now and give us a call and share with us about your decision to follow Jesus so that we may rejoice with you. And if you listen regularly, you know what I'm about to say. He has shown you and I what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Go do that now. God bless you guys.